All right, will you guys bow with me? Let's pray before we start opening up God's word tonight. Lord, thank you so much that we can be here among family because Jesus Christ has made us family. His death and his resurrection has made us brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that as we open up the word together tonight and study the word together to see what you have for us, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to us, changing us, teaching us. Lord, I need your help even as I speak, that they would be your words tonight. Help us to leave here different because you've interacted with us and intervened in our lives. Transform us, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we have been walking through a series together, right, called The Reason Why, and we're looking at the reason why for our faith. Like, why are we coming to church and opening our Bibles and doing what Dom just talked about? Why are crazy people dunking tanks of water? Like, what is this all about? And we know that the reason why for all of this is Jesus. And we've looked at different things, right? As we're walking through Acts together, the book of Acts, we're seeing this story, this real life thing that happened of Peter and John. And they're going to the temple. And as they're going to the temple, there's this dude that's there who is a beggar because he can't walk. And so he can't get a job. And the only way he can make money is sitting outside the temple begging for people for some money so he can buy food. And as they get there and see him, they kind of like look at him, but he doesn't really look back. Look at us. Look us in the eyes. Like man to man, like a human being. Like you're not inferior to us. Just because you have needs and you're broken and hurting right now doesn't make you less of a human. Look at us. And he looks at them and they share this awesome thing. It's a gift because they didn't really have money. So like we don't have silver or gold. Like we can't give you much, but we do have a gift. If you believe in the name of Jesus, he can forgive your sin and heal you. Get up and walk. And the dude's like, and he gets up and he's like, what? And it says his ankles were weak at first and started to get strong. And all of a sudden he's standing on his feet and he just gets the Holy Ghost in him. And he starts jumping around and dancing and praising God. It says he's leaping like a ballerina all over the place because the dude for over 40 years couldn't walk. And now here he is walking. I mean, you'd be pretty happy too. You'd be stoked that all of a sudden, oh, I can walk now. And so the dude goes in the temple and people see him and they're just, they're blown away. They're like, why? We've known this guy. He's over 40 years old. We've seen him there almost every day. He's never been able to walk before. He's never had hope. The doctors have never been like, yeah, maybe one day you'll heal. Like, he's done for. He's never going to walk again. And here he is leaping around and praising Jesus in the temple. This is incredible. So all of a sudden, people want to know, right? They're curious. They're like, what happened? And so all these people start flocking around and they all come around this massive crowd, it says, and Peter starts to talk to them. And he starts to tell them that this wasn't us. You guys are like applauding us and thinking we did some like supernatural thing. We were just available. We were just instruments. We just stood here with faith in our Jesus. And you know who healed this guy? They said, the name of Jesus Christ has the power to heal him. And so they're saying, don't look at us. Don't praise us. The one who healed this guy was Jesus. We were just here being obedient. So now all of a sudden, word gets out. And that's where we're at tonight. If you guys want to open up with me, we're in Acts 4, verses 1 to 12. Word just got out. And people found out that they're walking around saying that this guy named Jesus, who's dead, right, according to them, can heal people and make lame guys walk. And they're going around telling everybody that Jesus has the power to forgive sin. Who do they think they are, right? And so here's what these guys are upset about. Look at Acts 4, verses 1 to 12. It says, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, because it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. They're not happy. These guys are like, why are you preaching about this dude that we had crucified, that we said was a heretic, and now you're going around telling people he can heal people after he's already dead in the grave? These guys knew Jesus had been resurrected, that he's alive today. Y'all know that he's still alive today. Jesus is here with us, his presence, as we worship him. And so these guys are mad. They're like, you shouldn't be going around. They specifically don't like that they're saying that people can raise from the dead. You see, the Sadducees, these guys right here, they're kind of like the Pharisees, right? They're all like ruling, they're religious rulers of Israel. But the Sadducees, they believe that there was no afterlife. Nothing happens. You just do the best you can, live the best life you can, that's the deal, and then it's over. So they're really mad, even more than the Pharisees, because these guys are saying you can come back from the dead, that there's an afterlife. And so they're like, we don't think you should be saying this. So they arrest him. And because it was nighttime, they have to stay overnight now. So they're stuck in jail. They're in prison. Imagine being arrested just for talking about Jesus. Imagine if you went to school tomorrow, you walk on campus and you sit with your friend and just say, man, I got to tell you what God did in my life yesterday. Jesus is so awesome. And all of a sudden, boom, teachers come in. They're calling like security. They're coming up to you like, why are you talking about this dead guy? Like, and they're arresting you and putting you in jail. You'd be pretty like, what's going on here? That's what's happening. These guys just healed a crippled guy. Like, isn't that a good thing? Didn't they do a good deed? Who wouldn't want to go up to someone and be able to let them walk again? Who would have the nerve to be like, how dare you heal him? Like, it just doesn't make sense. These guys didn't like it. So much so that after they do this good deed, they get stuck in prison? Man, I think about my daily walk with Christ. And I just wonder how many times I'm like, man, my life is so hard. Like, living for Jesus is so hard. And I have to go back to stories like this and remember what people in the Bible actually went through for living for Jesus. That I've never been thrown in prison for talking about Christ. Every Wednesday night, I stand up here. Every Sunday morning, I'm talking to Sunday school. And I'm telling people throughout the week that I'm friends with. Like, Jesus is real. Jesus is awesome. And you know what? I haven't gone to jail for that yet. But these guys did. And I hope that gives you encouragement in your heart to step out in faith, to do the scary thing, to say, like, God might be calling me to do something that I'm not good at conversations. I'm not good at sitting at the lunch table and start talking to somebody about Jesus. And that's scary to me. Maybe that's exactly what God's calling you to do, to step out of your comfort zone. Sit at that lunch table with that kid who nobody talks to ever, and you can be their friend and you can talk about Jesus. See if you can love them and give them hope. I hope this encourages your heart to see men like this. Give us an example of what living for Christ looks like. And it says this next. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So this awesome miracle happens. The dude's dancing around praising Jesus, and he's leaping through the temple. And then all of a sudden these people come. And Peter's like, this is because of Jesus. And you know what happens? 5,000 dudes are like, I want to know this Jesus. I want to place my trust in him. 5,000 people get saved and believe in Jesus Christ. That blows my mind. I wonder what God would do if the people in this room stood up with this type of faith and walked into our community and our schools and our sports teams, and we were just bold about the gospel because we truly believe. Like, these guys came in here tonight to tell you, I believe in Jesus Christ, and they were baptized to tell you that. What if we went with that type of faith into the community, into your school? Might 5,000 or more people just come and just be like, I want to believe in this Jesus. These guys did nothing special. There wasn't a big show. There wasn't a gimmick. There was nothing. They just went and said, Jesus can do this. And God showed up and did something unbelievable. God worked a miracle. 5,000 people got saved. I wonder what God wants to do through you. I wonder what God wants to use your active faith to do in your sphere of influence. I think he's got some big plans for people in here. I want to encourage you to have the faith to obey. Next thing he says, on the next day, their rulers and elders, scribes, they all gathered together in Jerusalem, right? And it says that they were there with a high priest, right? So here's the deal. Isn't the high priest supposed to be the one that knows all these prophecies and teaches it to the people? It's his job to tell people about this coming Messiah. It's his job to know the prophecies. And here he is talking about the Messiah that already came, fulfilled prophecy, died on a cross, and rose again. And he's talking about him like he's a criminal. The guy who should know better than everyone else, with the most training, whose job it was to teach them about the Messiah. And here two uneducated dudes, fishermen, Peter and John. They weren't anything special. They weren't highly trained or educated. They didn't have any special gifts. It's just that the Holy Spirit was in them and they were obeying him. And God did amazing things. That's good news for me. All right. I'm not the most educated. I'm not the smartest. I look at God often. And I'm like, what do I have to offer? And he's like, you don't need to. Just have faith. Let me do the work. God's good enough. God will work through you. It doesn't matter how talented or gifted or funny you are. If you go, God, I believe, I just want to share with people, he's going to do some unbelievable things. You know why? Because he has the power to do it. We get saved because Jesus made the way. That's why. Jesus is the only way for people to come to Christ. It says, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power and by what name did you do this? It's funny that they wanted to know. Like, they're so inquisitive. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, who's kind of like hostile a little bit? It's like really mad at people who believe in Jesus. Like, you're so dumb. How could you believe that? Like, that's so ancient. That's a fairy tale. And they try to attack your faith. I've had a lot of conversations with atheists. And the funny thing is, they always want to start the conversation with me. They always want to know. And they're always like, why do you believe in Jesus? I'm like, I'm so glad you asked. They're like, it's great. Yes, let me talk about Jesus. This is awesome. But it's funny that they always want to know. They're always so inquisitive. And that's exactly what's happening here. Tell us who this guy is. Who do you think has the power to do this? They wanted to know. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, now stop right there before we say what he actually says. The key to that is he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Like I said, he was just a fisherman. He wasn't this really eloquent preacher. He wasn't super funny comedian. He didn't have all the answers. He just had the Holy Spirit. Do you know that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you? The Holy Spirit's probably the most under-talked about, underrated person of God in churches. We just don't talk about him. We just kind of assume he's there and move on. But the Holy Spirit's alive in you, so intimately connected to you that it says he lives inside of you. And he is the power of God. I just want to challenge you that the next time you stand up against something scary that God's telling you to do, remember who lives in you, the Holy Spirit of God. And trust him to do what he's done through Peter. Trust him to do unbelievably big things, all right? So here's what Peter says back with the Holy Spirit in him. He says, rulers of the people and elders. He's bold. If we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means has this man been healed? All right, so what he's saying is like, you're asking us why we did a good deed? You're seriously bringing us, you imprisoned us, and now we're at court so that you can ask why we did a good deed and healed a guy? You're not asking the doctors why they healed people and bringing them to court. What are you asking us for? Then he tells them, let it be known. He boldly says it. There's no shame here. He's like, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel. We're not hiding it from anyone what we believe. Let it be known that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do you boldly proclaim the name of Jesus? Are you unashamed?
Do you walk with this confidence that God saved you and rose you back to new life? That you have eternal life because of what God did, and because of that, you're not ashamed of it. Everybody can know. As a matter of fact, I want you to know what he's done for me, because he can do it for you too. Is that the confidence that you have? If you don't have it, I don't want you to try to fabricate it. Don't go home and be like, all right, let's make this happen in me. Don't do that. You know what you do? You ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, give me more of you. Because when the Holy Spirit's in you, get that confidence. God himself gives you the strength and the boldness to go out. So ask for it. Go home and pray and say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit so I can be bold and unashamed of you. That's exactly what's happening with Peter and John. And they say this: by the name of Jesus, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead. Like, you guys did the wrong. You killed this guy, the Messiah. But God raised him. God brought him back to life. And they're cringing because they're like, no, there's no afterlife, dude. And he's like, no, I met Jesus. After he came back from the dead, I saw him with my own eyes. I touched his hands where you put the nails. I felt his side where you shoved the spear. I know he's alive. You can't change my mind. I saw him. I witnessed him. He says, by him, this man is standing here before you. Well, don't give the blame to anybody else. Don't give the credit to me or to John or to any of these dudes out here. It was Jesus who brought this guy back to health so he could walk again. Nobody else did that. Listen, that's the good news. That's the gospel. That Jesus died, the Son of God who is perfect, died on a cross for you and me because we're sinners. And if you trust him with all your heart and say, God, take my life, the fact that he rose from the dead, he does the same for you. Your old self dies and he makes you brand new. He transforms you. He makes you just like him. He forgives your sin and he gives you new life. And that's what this guy experienced. Not just new legs to jump around and leap, but a new heart, an eternal life to be with God, forgiveness. He was transformed completely. This Jesus, he says, is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. But it's become the cornerstone. You thought Jesus was no good. You wrote him off and put him on a cross. But he's actually the most important piece to the whole puzzle. He is the reason why. And he says this, don't miss this verse. There is salvation in no one else. This is that moment like where they dig their heels in and these guys are really scary and intimidating. And Peter and John are like, listen, we're going to boldly just say it right now, clear and straight up. There is no one else that can save but Jesus. You can't mistake that. You can't misunderstand it. It's clear. I believe it. Do you believe that tonight? Like, don't quickly just write that off because you're in church. Like, yeah, sure I do. Do you truly believe that tonight? Do you believe it in a way where you're transformed? You're different. You're brand new. Because you're placing your trust in Jesus alone. And because of that, you're making different choices. You're desiring different things because he's working in you and making you new. Yeah, you mess up, but God goes, nope, come on, keep going. Come on, I'm going to keep moving you and changing you and transforming you. Do you believe that way? A way that's changing your life. He says this to end. He says, for there is no other name under heaven given among any man by which we must be saved. The only way is through Jesus. So if you're here tonight and you're trusting, like Dom was talking about tonight in his testimony, man, if you're placing your trust in the fact that your parents have raised you to be a Christian, and that's the culture, you grew up in a Christian home, and so you must be saved, or because your parents are believers or your friends are all believers, or you go to a Christian school or you have, you know, a youth group that you go to. And so none of those things can save you. They're good things. They're great things, but they can't save you. The only thing that can save you, Peter says, is placing your faith in the name of Jesus Christ alone. So I ask these guys that question. Do you hear it? Are you placing your trust in Jesus alone to forgive your sin? It's because he's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can transform you. So tonight, if you're sitting here, you're like, man, that's not the faith that I've had. That's not where I've been putting my, I've been calling myself a Christian, but I haven't placed my faith in just Jesus. I want to challenge you tonight, do that business with Christ. Like, get before him, get on your knees, pray and say, God, I'm placing all my trust in just you, because nothing else and no one else can save me. And tonight, I want to be confident like these dudes, like Peter and John, like this lame guy who's walking. I want to be transformed. God, make me brand new tonight. I want to trust and believe only in you, Jesus. Would you guys bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Man, you've had a lot of opportunities tonight to hear the gospel and to see the gospel demonstrated. And if you know, like, man, I'm only believing in Jesus tonight, can I ask you to do me a favor? Would you pray for the people around you right now that might not be trusting only in Jesus? We ask God to do a work in their heart, for the Holy Spirit to show up and just say, hey, you need me. That maybe tonight even, they would pray and accept Jesus as their Savior and be made brand new. Maybe you're here tonight and that's you. We're talking about you right now. We love you. We want you to know that. We celebrate when people say, hey, God, I trust in you and I want to be saved. That's why we did these baptisms tonight. That's our celebration before the Lord to say, Jesus, only you can do this. If that's you tonight and you want to place all of your trust in Jesus Christ, would you slip your hand up in the air and say, like, that's me. I'm not going to ask you to move around or scare you. I just want you to have the opportunity to respond and say, that's me. I'm going to place all my faith in Jesus. Just slip your hand up in the air so I can pray for you tonight. Yeah, man, I see your hand. Yeah, I see you guys over there. I want to pray right now. And as I pray, I want to ask you guys, the three of you who just raised your hands, would you just kind of look? No one else is looking. Will you just look at me real quick? I just want to look at you guys. I'm going to pray. Well, you can just pray after me in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud, but just pray this prayer. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I want to ask you for forgiveness tonight, and I want to trust in you alone to save me. God, my life is yours. I want to be made brand new. In Jesus' name. Listen, you guys, if you just prayed that, will you please come talk to me afterwards? I'd love to just celebrate with you. I'd love to talk to you about baptism and just next steps. I want to give you a hug, a safe COVID hug, right, after this. But the rest of you guys, if you're here tonight, you're like, man, I just want to be made bold. I'm not living bold. I'm not living like I believe this, and I need that courage. Rob, will you pray for me tonight? Will you just slip your hand up and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for boldness. I want more Holy Spirit in me. Slip your hand up. Yeah, man, there's a lot of hands. I know you guys. I feel you. Anybody else? I want more Holy Spirit boldness to live for Jesus. I mean, that's so awesome. Yeah. Let's pray together. God, you saw the hands. More importantly, you saw our hearts tonight. For those of us who raised our hand and said, Lord, we want boldness. We want your Holy Spirit. We want to live for you in faith. Give it to us, Lord. Father, you have to do that work in us. As we say, we're here to believe and trust. Now do the work. Christ, for our brothers who raised their hands tonight to be saved, I just pray for them, God, that this prayer they prayed was a genuine prayer before you. And God, that they live in full confidence that they have been saved tonight by the God of the universe, who is the only one who can forgive sin. We love you and we worship you. Hear us, God, as we worship and sing right now. Be praised. It's in your name we pray. Amen.